Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about the do's and don'ts of the holy month of Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, dear friends. We are here in the studio talking with Sayyid Amir Babahani from Canada. We wanted to talk about some of the do's and don'ts of the holiest of holy months, the holy month of Ramadan. So let's go ahead, invite our guest and start the talk show. Sayyid Babahani, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sayyid. Alhamdulillah, I'm feeling blessed to be again about here in this studio and talk about the holy month of Ramadan.
So Sayyid, thank you again. You know, we had started to talk about some things in the last talk show. And so, you know, later on we started thinking, well, why don't we do like a do's and don'ts regarding the holy month of Ramadan and how interesting it would be, you know? And so that's why we invited you back to the studio in the holiest of holiest months, the holy month of Ramadan. Now, I kind of wanted to change it a little bit and just kind of do some do's and don'ts. You know, you can do some do's and I'll do some do's and then you do some don'ts and I do some don'ts.
That's a very interesting way of doing it because, you know, we have said the month of Ramadan, it's a month of revolution. It's a month of changing. It's a month of adding or correcting our behavior, adding good behavior or habits to our daily and routine life. Of course, that's a very good idea.
Okay, so alhamdulillah, I'm glad that you have accepted to be able to do this kind of thing. So so Sayyid Babahani, I guess I'll throw it over to you in the name of Allah. Why don't you tell us one of the do's that we should do or we must do or we need to do in the holy month of Ramadan?
I think it's the most important and the most clear one that it is emphasized in the narration to do during the month of Ramadan and regularly to do it after month of Ramadan to get used to it is recitation of Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He's the Rabb al-Alameen, you know, He's the educator, He's the teacher, basically, and a nurturer of the universe, all the creation. One of the beautiful phrases that I just recently heard from one of these speakers, it was that he was saying that Allah says, metaphorically, he was saying that Allah says to his servant, says, you have served me for what, 50, 60, 70 or 80 years, right? But I've been the Lord and I've been nurturing for billions and billions of years. So I know what to do. Don't worry about it, you know. So of course, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that motivation aspect to a deed, it means that go ahead, I will help you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes forward and says, in the month of Ramadan, every verses of Quran that you recite, it's equal to the rewards of recitation of the whole Quran
in other months,
in the other times. That means what? That means, oh my servant, do it. I'm putting a motivation for you. I'm putting this motivation for you in order to you become someone that recite more Quran, get more. And what is Quran? You know, see, this is how beautiful it is if we think about these aspects. What is Quran? It's Allah's words. So Allah says, I put motivation about give you much more rewards to come forward and hear me what I say to you. It's so beautiful, right?
It's very beautiful.
Come hear my voice. Come hear my basically advices.
You know,
and what is his advice? I'm Allahu Samad. I don't need your worship. I don't need anything from you. All this advice is for you to protect yourself, to basically be on that path towards salvation.
Especially a very good do for the holy month of Ramadan, especially considering that this is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed. It is also the month in which we have the Nights of Qadr. And as you said, the rewards for reciting the verses of the Holy Quran, you know, are multiplied, you know, I don't know, so many times fold, mashallah. And of course, what a beautiful month for us to be able to reconnect with the Holy Quran. It seems like we live in such a fast-paced life. There's so much going on, school or studies or work, the rat race and trying to pay bills and the mortgage. And I mean, I don't know, this is a very crazy world out there that we live in. And being able to take time out regularly on a daily basis to connect with the Almighty Allah, to recite the Holy Quran, you know, to hear the words of the Rabbul Alameen, a very important do in the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes, of course. We all know that Quran is the book of guidance.
Yes.
Is the book that we need to get more, strengthen more our relation with, right? Mm. And during the month of Ramadan, because of this motivation and because of those blessing that we feel more spiritual, we feel more calm, we feel that tranquility in our heart, we could sit down and read more Quran. And usually if it is an outside month of Ramadan, other times when we read 10 minutes, we think we read a lot. But during the month of Ramadan, we did 21 hour of Quran, and we feel that, wow, it was easy to read one hour of Quran, right? So this practice, it needs to give us that motivation to continue reciting Quran during other time. So anything, the subject of do and don'ts that you have brought up, anything that we're going to talk about do's or don'ts, it is not only specific on the month of Ramadan. It's a period of practice and getting the habits of doing good deeds, like recitation of Quran, and avoiding doing any bad and wrong actions.
Yes. Okay. So, Sayyid Babani, how about we do a don't now? One of the don'ts that we should not do, we must not do, we cannot do in the holy month of Ramadan.
Of course, it's judging others. Judging others, it is very dangerous zone to enter, because especially youth today, you know, with this access of information, they could understand this perspective of a lack of knowledge of a human being. You know, we are, first of all, we are in a creature that forgive many information or experiences that we had, and also we do not know everything, you know, especially today, how the youth could see that, how we are dependent to our mobile phone or Google, or for example, GPS and phone numbers, all these things, you know. And this is a sign, everything is a sign to show us that we are weak, to be in that a position of judging others. You know, it is very important to not backbiting or basically saying something wrong about others, especially Mu'min brothers and sisters.
Yes.
This is something that we have to be very aware of it. And all we have to do is be aware about what we say, controlling our tongue. As this one of the scholar, some people says is Ayatollah Burjerdi, some people says is Sheikh Nkhodaki Isfahani. No matter what, it's a story about a scholar that he basically backbite someone, and suddenly he realized what a bad thing he did. So from then on, he put a rock, a small stone in his mouth, under his tongue. So every time that he had to talk, he has to take out that stone and talk. So that stone, he put the name of fikr, of thinking. So thinking before talking, speaking. So every time he was taking out that stone in order to talk, he has to think, okay, if I'm saying something wrong, or it's okay to say it. So this is very important, you know, to be aware about what we say. So of course, not judging others based on our little information, especially our brothers and sisters that we are on the other side of the world, in a small community, that we need more unity than other places, maybe because we are, you know, surrounded by all these disbeliever and shaitan's armies, tools and gadgets. We have to be more united, we have to be more pleasing each other in order to basically befriend, you know, and supporting each other's.
Right.
So I would say, like, we have to focus on the part of the glasses that is full, right? Mm. That's how they say it.
Yeah, yeah. So Sayyid, I'm going to put you in the hot seat, and now you have to ask me, right? Now you have to ask me a do's and a don'ts.
So now I have to ask you
you ask me a do's and a don'ts of the holy month of Ramadan.
So of course you go ahead and tell us one of the action that we have to do or try to get habits.
Right. Okay. I'm enjoying this more than I should be, right? Usually
I'm the host now.
Yeah, usually now you're the host. I finally get to be the guest. One of the definite do's, I think, in the holy month of Ramadan is to ask the Almighty Allah for forgiveness. It's one of the things we very rarely take into consideration. It's one of the things that Shaitan really tries his utmost best to make us forget, you know, and days turn into months and months into years and then into a whole lifetime of, you know, not asking for forgiveness, not realizing that we should ask for forgiveness. And the holy month of Ramadan, you know, is the best month, as you had said, because everything you do, the rewards and the power of that action that you do is multiplied. I would say, you know, whether good or bad, there's so much. So what a beautiful time to ask the Almighty Allah for forgiveness in this holiest of holiest months, and kind of purify yourself from everything that has passed, so that you can have a clean future going forwards.
Of course, just add to this, Sayyid, it is the riwayah that one of the effect of fasting is, we already said in last session, is that humbleness effect.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because we see our weaknesses, you know, right, how we are dependent to the food, and something that was so accessible during other time of year, suddenly we have to control ourselves and prevent ourselves to eat. And this makes us to understand how we are weak and dependent to these rizq and these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us so accessible and to be accessible, so easy to us. But so this humbleness is actually bring down to a level of asking for forgiveness in much more pure state.
Subhanallah.
You know, that pure, that istighfar that you were talking about during month of Ramadan, it as its purest state of asking for forgiveness, because we already have that effect of fasting, which makes us more humiliated and more humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, we go for the next question.
Right.
Yeah. So now you come up with one of the don'ts and mention what we should prevent of doing it.
Right. So there are so many don'ts in the holy month of Ramadan. You know, usually we take this, there's so many do's, and there are a lot of do's, right? Mm. But at the same time, there are so many don'ts that we just don't consider in our lives. And I know it's kind of a general category, but it's don't commit sin, right? And I know it's a general category, and it has a lot of things fall under it. But, you know, the good thing about a general category is that every single one of us out there should think about ourselves and think, well, you know, this is a sin that I commit easily, or I commit regularly, or I forget that I'm committing, right? And pick that one sin, you know, so I don't know whether it's lying or backbiting or it's cheating or I don't know whether it's, you know, watching things that are bad or listening to things that are bad, right? Pick one or two and definitely for the holy month of Ramadan, don't do that one sin. And if you feel really courageous, you know, and really brave, then choose more than one thing, you know. And so that's definitely a you know, don't do in the holy month of Ramadan is to commit sin.
Of course, sin is a general topic, right?
Right.
But there's a famous line. I don't know if it's hadith or not, but it says, "Sayyatul Abrar." Hasanatul Abras Sayyatul Al-Muqarrabin. That means the good deeds that the good people does is actually sin for those closer ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muqarrabin. So I would say that there is no limit for us to purify ourselves.
Yes.
You know, the more closer we get, the more aware we become ourselves, we get to that point that there is a mistake, there is somewhere that we are weak and we have to strengthen it. So just about this topic, someone came to our beloved Prophet, because our beloved Prophet, salawatullah alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was doing 70 istighfar every night during his salatul layl, right? So someone came to him and says, why?
Why
you do istighfar? You're a prophet, right? You're ma'soom.
Why you do istighfar?
Exactly. So, and he answers beautifully that I am, while my presence in the world, it makes my heart to become rusty. So even the
just being present.
Distance. Yes, just the being distance. the distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's present in this world, that's considered not as a sin that we call it,
but it's a distance,
as a mistake or as a weakness for, from his perspective, right? And makes his heart to become rusty. So he needs, he feels the needs of istighfar. So of course, if a ma'soom, if an infallible, alayhi salam, he feels that way, how we should feel, you know? And that's a point, my brother Sayyid Shahyar, is to become humble. To never think that we are so good that we don't need istighfar, or we don't need to basically be aware of our deeds in order to prevent doing any sin. Oh, I'm not doing any sin, I'm not doing any wrong, so let's be it. No, no, there's always somewhere to improve.
Excellent. So, Sayyid, now I'm going to ask you, and then maybe we'll come back one last time. I don't know. This could be a very it could be a very long talk show if we don't keep it under control.
No problem.
Right. But I really think that, you know, jokes aside, that it's very you know, it's very beneficial, these kind of points that come out, and this kind of, and we've always liked the talk show because of this, because the talk show provides this relaxed, you know, no boundaries type, you know, chance to talk to religious scholars and get this kind of a fresh, you know, outlook on things. So I'll start with again a don't this time. Another one of the don'ts that we shouldn't do in the holy month of Ramadan.
Well, of course, we said to control our tongue. We said to control our, basically, not committing any sin, which is very general. But I would say to I said judgment, right?
Right. You said judgment. That was the first one.
But if you want to say to not be bad ethics or bad behavior with our family members.
So this, you would say that one of the don'ts is what?
To not have bad behaviors towards our families and relatives, basically. This is very important, to not shout at them, to not disrespect them, especially our fathers and mothers. This is very important. From the father's side, if you want to say, our children, our wives, from the wife side, very important, the children, we have to respect,
husband.
And the husband, exactly, exactly. So it is very important to respect each other, to not disrespect each other, to not dishonor each other by saying something that might hurt someone else in our close families. And of course, this is not only about our relatives, is getting into much more bigger circle when it comes to our community and our social environment. And it is a riwayah, it just came to me about this subject, that it says, someone that is fasting during the month of Ramadan, and someone comes and shout at him, or you know, telling him a bad word, or disrespect him, and he says, no, I'm not gonna answer you, and I'm not gonna be disrespectful towards you by wrong words, because I'm fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, the continuous of this riwayah, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his sins, and paradise becomes basically, the doors of paradise will be open for him. So it is true that month of Ramadan, one of the motivation of getting control of our behavior and do and don'ts that we talk about, for not nullifying and basically
wasting our deeds
because we're not eating during the day and we don't want it to be wasted, right? We go through all this hardship. But this is not the only thing. This actually, it's a point of motivation for us in order to get used to some of the behaviors, to some of the do and be aware of some of the don'ts, so that the other months and the continuation of our life, we be aware of those and do the good and
Yeah, it's very interesting. I agree with you, definitely. Yeah. You know, while a person is fasting, you have certain pressures and you're trying to control this aspect of not eating and drinking. And then sometimes you lose control of this aspect of, you know, not being a good, you know, nice, kind person. And sometimes we end up taking it out on our family members, whether it's yelling at them or being grouchy or being mean. And in this month in which, you know, we are practicing self-control, you know, what an excellent way to control ourselves when it comes to our behaviors and our manners and our demeanor with our family and our friends and our coworkers. So now I'm going to ask you another do, a definite do in this holy month of Ramadan.
About the good deeds, there is many good deeds that we sometimes you forget.
Yeah, sure.
To do, because we are so focused on our own. We are sometimes focused on our self-purification, that we focus some of the points that we have to focus on and get help from it. One of the thing is remembrance of the death and marhumin.
Very interesting.
For example, you recite Quran or you do ibadah, why not going to a cemetery? Why not going and recite a fatiha for the marhumin? Why not giving iftar on behalf of a marhum, our grandmothers, mothers, parents, family members and relatives that are passed away, and they are looking forward to us to send them rewards. So this is very important. I mean, even the scholars, you know, we could include. So one of the point about this special deed is that some people think that if they do an action and they send a reward to a marhum, or to more than one marhum, this reward is divided between those marhumin, between those. But this is not true. The reward is in the alam of, this is one of my very good teacher was explaining it to me a long time ago. And this is a very important point, that when you are sending rewards of a good deed to multiple people, it's not like that this reward get divided between them and they get little share of it. All of them, they get the full share. So because in alam of spirit, these things are not like a material world that get divided. And that's why they say when you do a good deed, try to include and share the reward with as many as people as you can. So when you do it for your parents, when you do it for your grandparents, also think about the shuhada, think about the ulama, think about those important people that they had impact in order to protect the Islam and the message of Islam, the pure Muhammadan Islam, so that today we could benefit from their deeds and writings and all these sacrifices. So of course, one of the things that we could do is remembering the death and those marhumin.
Right. It's interesting. There's one in the du'as of the holy month of Ramadan. You have that, you know, where it says that may Allah gladden the people that are in the graves. In the nightly du'as that we recite.
Yes,
and so that importance of remembering death. It's interesting. Remembering death also, according to the Imams, alayhim salam. You know, it is one of the things that detaches one from the dunya and from materialism and consumerism. Of course, when you realize that, listen, one day or the other, sooner or later, you're going to die, and you're not going to take any of these things with you. The only thing you're going to take, you know, are your good deeds or your bad deeds, God forbid, then it really does detach you from the dunya and the materialism and the greed. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, yes, of course.
So say it now, you're going to ask me one last time.
All right, for sure. Right, go ahead, say Shaya, and tell us about one of the don'ts that we could, inshallah, avoid.
So one of the don'ts, and this is my last, after this, you know, we'll end the talk show. Even though this was probably one of the most enjoyable ones I think that I've had. So one of the definite don'ts in the holy month of Ramadan is do not throw away food. Right?
Wasted.
I mean, literally, you know, we go to the Islamic Center, we go to the masjid, the mosque, we go to the Husseiniya, right? We go to iftar parties, or we go to these, you know, community iftars. And I mean, you're hungry all day long, so you put twice as much food in your plate as you would on a regular day, right? And because you're fasting, right, you're really not that hungry. It's, a lot of it is psychological and mental,
yes,
right? You're like, oh, I've been fasting all day. You might feel a little bit hungry, but after you eat that the date, you know, the khurma, or you eat the watermelon or the piece of fruit or a little bit of rice or a little bit of yogurt, or if you drink a little bit of tea, after that you're full. You're like, I don't want to eat anymore. And you have a plate full of twice as much food as you would on a regular day. So what do? You go and you throw it all in the garbage. The person next to you does the same thing. You know, the children, because for them it's even worse, right? They have little to no control. They do the same thing. And by the end of each night of the holy month of Ramadan, and it's really sad, and that's why it's a don't, we throw so much food away in a month where we should be realizing how difficult it is to be hungry, how difficult it is to be poor. And if you look around the world, there are so many millions of people, Muslims and non-Muslims, that are starving, you know, to death. And so definitely one of the don'ts is do not throw so much food away. Put a little bit of food on your plate, finish it, you know, then go back for seconds, go back for thirds. But, you know, that's my definite don't in the whole
of month. Course. Yeah, this is it comes to another level. It's the subject of israf, the subject, yes, of wasting, which, yes, our leader Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei Fazlullah also mentioned it in his speech of the new year for the Iranians, that this is one of the weakness of cultural weakness that we have. And this wasting attitude or wasting attribute of our, you know, if we could say cultural or personal behavior, it is not only about food, it's in all our
aspects,
you know. When someone, there's so many rawayah of this, that if you are a musrif, if you are someone that waste all the
benefits. Extravagant, yeah.
Yeah, you, what do you call it?
Extravagant,
yeah. Extravagant, yeah. You are a musrif, you are someone that wastes things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the blessings, will diminish your rizq, your substance.
It's very
scary. If you want to, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase the blessing and rest towards you, be careful about this aspect, to not waste your wealth, your money, your food, your basically anything, you know. Try to use it. And this is actually not being someone that is
extravagant. Yeah.
Extravagant. Mm. That's what you said, right? Mm. It is actually opens the door towards being grateful. So when you want to use something at its best way, at its best capacity, it means that you want to be grateful about what you received.
Right.
If you have food, you want to have that food and enjoy it to its full capacity and not throwing it out, and be respectful about what it's been given to you. Why? Because you want to be grateful about it. Lack of gratitude is actually what it comes out as being someone that wastes the ni'mah, the blessings.
So I still have a do.
You want to? Yes, go ahead, Sayyid Shahyar. Go and present us a do.
So this is the last do on my behalf, and then I'm going to hand it over to you for the last word, because you are the guest. I'm just the host. Let's not confuse that. Definitely, so I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm going to add one do within another do, so that it's not the, you know, anyways, it's for the sake of Allah. So of course, you know, the you know, the definite do in the holy month of Ramadan is to fast.
Of course.
For God's sake, you know, fast. Do the fasting, do the saum. Everybody is very strong. They are stronger than they believe, you know. And Allah will help you when you have that intention to fast. So do not stress, do not worry, do not be nervous, you know. And you can do it, you know, ask the Almighty Allah for help. But that wasn't going to be really my do, because that, you know, everybody knows they need to fast.
But at the end of that subject, I'll let you continue with that. But about this subject, also those people that they are really in a position that is unhealthy for them to fast,
they should avoid. In that point, it becomes haram.
Exactly.
It becomes prohibited for that individual to fast.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're talking about the young guys, of course. 18, 19.
Exactly.
They should be fasting and, come on, man.
Also addressing the parents that are scared about their children.
And the parents are scared. They say, it's okay. You know, they shouldn't fast. Let the child, the teenager, whoever it is, make the decision. But the real do that I wanted to do was, in the holy month of Ramadan, definitely establish a connection with the Almighty Allah. Right, as you had told us in the previous talk show, and even in this talk show, this month is an opportunity where Allah the Almighty has called every single one of us to this feast, which He is the host. You know, a lot of times we don't understand these things, but Allah is inviting every single one of us. Whether we have committed sin in the past, or whether we have done bad things, you know, or whether we haven't been able to do as many good things as we would have liked, the all-merciful Allah has invited every single one of us to go and establish that connection, speak with Him, listen to Him, as you had said, the first do, which was recite the Holy Quran. But at the same time, speak with Him, tell Him your problems, tell Him, you know, your dreams, your hopes, what you would like to do, you know, and definitely establish a connection with the Almighty Allah in the holy month of Ramadan.
It is very important to understand this opportunity, the value of this opportunity, that the highest being and the creator, the absolute power, the power itself, you know, the most knowledgeable, the absolute wise, is coming to a level that gives so much importance to a mu'min, to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to invite them and create motivation for them to come and sit down on the table that He prepared for them, to serve them with all these rewards, all with spiritual material rewards, in order to enjoy, in this dunya and hereafter. This great opportunity, if we understand it, we understand that strengthening the relationship with such a beautiful Lord, such a magnificent and mihraban,
merciful
kind Lord, is so much to our own benefit.
Yeah,
you know, and it's so important for our own benefit. That if you lose these minutes and moments of month of Ramadan, that makes it that it is prepared for us to create this relation and strengthen this relation in a much easier way. If you lose this, it's a very downfall for us.
Jazakallah, Sayyid Babani. I want to thank you again for this interesting twist that we took on the talk show, the do's and don'ts of the holy month of Ramadan. I hope you didn't mind being the host
beautiful.
A few seconds, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, we hope to have you on another talk show soon, and may Allah accept all of your prayers and your worship,
inshallah,
in the holy month of Ramadan.
Thank you.
Dear viewers, we hope you enjoyed this do's and don'ts of the holy month of Ramadan. Please, in the remaining days of this holy month, remember us in your prayers. May Allah accept all of your prayers and your worship and your ibadat in this holiest of holy months, the holy month of Ramadan. And that's all from us.